A few weeks ago, a 10-year-old girl at home alone called 000. A burglar was breaking in. The girl locked herself in a closet while the operator dispatched police. Whether it's for police or fire or medical emergencies, the people who answer these sorts of calls to 000 are trained to act fast at the same time as provide advice to an often very panicked, not necessarily coherent caller. So what's it like to do this job where you're faced with all these emergency, often life and death situations at a distance for every hour of every day or night of your working life, where every second counts? Andrea Johnson is a 000 call taker for the ambulance service. Hi, Andrea. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Amanda.
How did you come to be doing this job? What were you doing before it?
Well, I'd had, I suppose, a very interesting career doing different things in my life. Previous to this, I was managing a real estate office. But I felt I needed to do something, you know, that old chestnut, want to do something where I can help people.
Yeah, where you can make a difference.
That's right, and make a difference for people. Someone I knew had a family member who worked at 000. I didn't know a lot about it, but I happened to look on Seek and saw an ad, and I did ring and say to the HR people at the time, I told them my age, and said, am I too old for this? And they said no. And I went through the process, and I've been at Esther now for over 9 years.
Yeah. And how busy does it get? So Esther, I should say, is the Emergency Services
Telecommunication Authority.
Right, okay.
It's a mouthful.
In other words, 000. How busy does it get? How often are you answering calls?
We are very busy. We're there clearly 24/7. And
you do 12-hour shifts?
We do 12-hour shifts. It's 2 days, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. and then 2 nights, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. So very busy, very hectic.
And how often would you be taking a call?
Look, it varies from hour to hour, really. Mm. At times where just it's quite constant and, you know, maybe from 3 till 5 a.m., it slows down a little bit, thank goodness. So it just varies. And then it will be dependent on the weather, what's going on around Melbourne. So we have to prepare ourselves
to be busy. Yes, you're based in Melbourne, aren't you?
Yes, yeah. To be busy every day.
You must have to deal with a lot of panicked and agitated and upset callers. How do you sort of calm them down? Do you have techniques?
Yes, we do. And it really all comes back to our communication style. And I suppose the recruitment process as well. We select people who have got good communication skills, who are able to also multitask. Through our training, we are given experiences where we can learn how to use our different techniques to calm people down. And it's really about letting people know what the process is when they ring 000 and how they can give us their information in a timely fashion. And also to reassure them that we're there to help them.
Yeah, so what is that process?
Well, when people first ring 000, the line actually goes through to Telstra, and Telstra will ask them
Which
service. Is it fire, police or ambulance? And where are they from? Which part of Australia? And then Telstra will then direct the call to the correct service in the correct location.
Okay, so then once that caller comes through to you, if someone is terribly agitated, what do you say? What do you do?
Well, it's just to reassure them that we're there and we're going to help them. And it's working with them. I often say, you know, we need to identify what type of caller that we have on the line and what type of call taker we need to be. And we need to do that within seconds. And we don't deal with people the same way. So if it's, you know, a distressed mother calling, we'll let them know, I can hear that you're upset. I'm here to help you, but I need to ask you some questions. You know, what's your address? And we reconfirm that back to them. They're all important steps in the process. Mm. And again, we'll adjust our style according to what we're hearing.
You obviously have to make a lot of quick decisions. How do you triage the calls that you get?
Well, it's about identifying priority symptoms. So we do ask the question, tell me exactly what happened. We want to get to the heart of what's going on. so that we can then identify.
And you need to get to that very quickly.
We need to get to that very quickly, which is can be quite frustrating for callers because they want to tell us the whole story and they want us to tell the whole story now. But our job is to actually triage, find out priority symptoms, ask specific questions so that we can organise the correct ambulance response and give the correct instructions.
Is it common for you to need to give a caller medical advice?
Oh, absolutely, Amanda. And that can be anything from putting pressure on a wound if there's severe bleeding to giving CPR instructions or to just making someone reassure someone that we've got an ambulance organised for them and anything else in between.
Do you work with interpreters too, Andrea? What if someone doesn't speak English or doesn't speak very good English?
Absolutely, we work with interpreters and we have been known to help deliver babies over the phone via an interpreter. That can be
wow.
quite challenging.
So have you got, how do you get access to an interpreter? Say you need, immediately you need someone who speaks Arabic.
We call through to the interpreter service, tell them what we need, and they will source that. And then we're patched into a conference call. And that can be quite interesting also.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to make the process a little bit slower. And
it is a bit slower, but hopefully by that stage we've already got an address in our system and we can have organised an ambulance already.
Dispatched.
And we're just trying to get more specific information and also give specific instructions via the interpreter if we need to.
It seems, Andrea, like a job where you have to solve problem after problem, really, and move straight on to the next call, which is going to be a completely different problem again. Do you ever get calls that partway through sort of drop out, you know, like the caller has rung off before you've resolved what to do? You know, in other words, it's possible that something quite terrible has happened,
yes,
but
absolutely.
You really don't know.
Absolutely. And again, we will organise an ambulance and we'll every endeavour to call back that location. That's quite common. We'll call back that location to try to find out the best information. But we have a process for everything, Amanda.
Yeah, yeah. I guess there's not much you haven't had to deal with. Although, you know, I mean, I know that you get a lot of training, but is there anything that the training didn't equip you for?
I suppose for me, when I first started, I was a little bit confronted by the amount of mental health issues in our community. I suppose I was living in a bit of a bubble. That was a little bit confronting. So I know a lot more about that now and how better to assist people over the phone in those areas. The amount of, I suppose, violence and alcohol-related issues, again, that was also a bit confronting. I didn't expect as much of that. But, you know, it is what it is and we do what we do.
Well, I mean, answering all those sorts of emergency calls, medical calls from people must get stressful. I mean, it must have an effect on you. How do you debrief? Who can you call?
Well, I'm sure my colleagues will agree. Our first port of support is really our colleagues. We support one another exceptionally well. Our team leaders and certainly will look after us on the floor. We also have our peer support process at ESTA, and a number of us are mental health first aid trained. So we've got a lot of support. We also have an employee assistance program that we can call 24/7, even if we're not at work, if, you know, a day or two after we've taken.
Yes, because, I mean, are there some calls that stay with you, you know, long after your shift is finished?
Absolutely. And, look, I would have taken tens of thousands of calls in my time at ESTA, and I suppose there are a few that will always remain in my heart that I will think about, not on a daily basis, but often people children that have died. You know, the 14-year-old girl who's taken 50 or 60 Panadol and dealing with the distressed family and supporting them until the ambulance arrives. You know, they stay in your heart for a long time. Mm. Obviously the babies that I've helped deliver, and people will say that's, you know, always a highlight.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is you are helping people. What's the most positive result, the best story that's come from a call you've taken?
Well, absolutely. when you see that you have commenced CPR with a caller and their loved one, and you see that that person has been taken to hospital and there's been a positive result, that's absolutely a big win, because a lot of the time that doesn't happen. So to know that you've got someone to get hands on chest as quickly as possible is, and we've had a successful outcome, is an absolute thrill for us.
How often do children call 000, Andrea, and the calls that come through to you in the ambulance service? I mean, do you have to talk to children differently?
We do. We quite often have children call for their loved ones, and kids are great. They will actually, they have
They're
no fear,
They're probably better
really.
At following instructions.
They're fantastic at following instructions. They will give us information that we need. And sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So they're not as often as scared as perhaps their parent or someone else might be. Kids are actually, great.
How do you deal with crank calls? I think a lot of calls that come through to 000 are hoaxes.
We do often get what we call our repetitive or nuisance callers. We do actually treat them with the same amount of respect as a normal call.
Because you never really know.
You never really know, Amanda. And you wouldn't want to put someone in the hoax call category if that wasn't the case. And we have all types of people ringing. Sometimes people with medical conditions can sound a little different also. You have to take that into account.
Mm.
Sometimes you have to work with people to get their addresses, etc. So we do treat those hoax calls with respect. But we also know we have some addresses that come up repeatedly.
Right.
And we are aware.
That's a flag for you.
That's right.
All right. I mean, it sounds like you do an amazing job. But, I mean, have there been times when it's got to you where you have just wanted to walk away and find a job with a bit less pressure, a bit less referred pain?
No. I've been lucky enough to do a number of things at ESTA. So I have been fortunate enough to have quite a bit of variation between call taking and dispatching and team leading, etc., and training. But I am quite passionate, as well as my colleagues are also very passionate about what we do. Certainly we can get frustrated, and it is time, to have a break, to have a holiday. To enjoy your 4 days off. Sometimes,
to switch off, you can completely switch off?
Yes, but it is something that you have to teach yourself to do that and know when you need to perhaps take a mental health day because you are a little bit burnt out. And we do suffer burnout, but we have to recognise that and deal with that. You know, it's not very nice. At times people will be quite abusive or aggressive towards us because they don't know what the process is. And sometimes that's a bit hard to take, but we have to sometimes put ourselves in the shoes of the caller and understand that they're stressed and that's the way that they're dealing with their stress. And it's really our job to use our communication skills to get them through that process.
Well, I have great respect for you and others who do that work. Andrea Johnston works at the Emergency Services Telecommunications Authority. She's one of the people who answers if you call 000 for the ambulance service. Andrea, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Amanda.
And this is Life Matters with Amanda Smith.